And welcome back. It's midday. Glad you're with us. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That means it's time to hear a theater review from our good friend Jaywin Russick. Judy, good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So today we're talking Shakespeare. This is the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory's production of Love's Labor's Lost. They do this outside. They're over at the Meadow at the Evergreen Museum at Hopkins. And then after this, they're going to do it over at St. Mary's Community Center in Hamden. So it is outside. Does Shakespeare work outside particularly well? I mean, are there some Shakespeare shows that are better outside than others?
Well, yes, a lot of Shakespeare plays were originally done open air, although this one, Love's Labor's Lost, was first performed for Queen Elizabeth, probably indoors. But
not the current Queen Elizabeth.
Right, exactly. For Love's Labor's Lost, a significant part of the plot actually takes place outdoors, so this is one that works well. The King of Navarre has convinced three of his lords to swear an oath with him, saying that they will devote themselves to study for 3 years and have no contact with women. He forgets that the Princess of France is about to arrive on diplomatic business. So the king decides that the princess and her three ladies cannot possibly stay in court, so he puts them up in a park. Or, as the princess's advisor puts it, he lodges them in the field. So the Evergreen Meadow
in a field.
Yes, lodged
there
in a field becomes that field. The meadow becomes that field. I brought you Nicholas Froot, who plays the king, trying to tell the princess where she'll be staying and why. And the princess, played by Erin Henratty, who doesn't think too much of the king's arrangement.
Fair princess, welcome to the court of Navarre.
Fair, I give you back again, and welcome I have not yet. The roof of this court is too high to be yours, and welcome to the wide fields, too base to be mine.
You shall be welcome, madam, to my court.
I will be welcome, then. Conduct me thither.
Hear me, dear lady, I have sworn an oath.
Our lady help my lord, he'll be forsworn.
Not for the world, fair madam, by my will.
Why, will shall break it, will and nothing else.
Nicholas Froot and Erin Henratty in Love's Labor's Lost. By the way, Judy, has the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory updated the production? Are they doing this modern, or are they doing this kicking it old school, you know, Shakespeare's 1400s, whatever it was, 1600s?
Well, a little bit of both. They're doing it in modern dress. The men wear sports coats. A couple of the women wear short skirts. There's a character of a parish priest who wears a tracksuit for some reason. Part of the humor in this show is that the women outsmart the men, and it's a matter of just how long it will take these men to break their oath. There's a very funny scene, in fact, when the men disguise themselves as Russians. This is in Shakespeare's text. Presumably, this way they figure they can visit the women without breaking their vow. In the Shakespeare Factory's production, which is directed by Chris Cotterman, the men wear masks of Putin, that's the king, and he appears with a bare chest,
there you go.
Gorbachev, Yeltsin, and Medvedev, and Nicholas Froot, whom we just heard as the king, isn't just funny as Putin. He does a good job as this character of his, this well-meaning but immature king who basically thinks he can live on intellect without emotion for 3 years. Utkarsh Rajayat is also good as Barone, the one lord who's skeptical about this all-study, no-women idea. A couple of times when the king's cronies are together, the director has Barone seated off in a corner. He's wearing short shorts for some reason, and he's wearing dark glasses and smoking and off to himself because apparently he's on a different wavelength from the others. I brought Rajayat as Barone, convincing his friends to give up this foolish plan and follow their hearts.
They are the books, the arts, the academes that show, contain, and nourish all the world, else none at all in aught proves excellent. Then fools you were these women to forswear, or keeping what is sworn, you will prove fools.
That's Utkarsh Rajayat in the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory's production of Love's Labor's Lost. So, Judy, gender-blind casting, it's all the rage, particularly in Shakespeare productions. I saw one just a few weeks ago, a Coriolanus production, in which Coriolanus, the general, was played by a woman, and it was terrific. How about in this production? Does it have any gender-blind casting as well?
Well, of course, Tom, in Shakespeare's day, all of the roles were played by men, so there's nothing new in that regard. At the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory, a number of the supporting roles are cast gender blind. There's one actress, in fact, who plays both male and female characters. The most overt example of genderblind casting is Don Armado. He's a comical Spanish braggart who entertains the king and his court, and he is being played by a woman, Holly Gibbs. She plays Armado as a man with a large black crooked mustache. At the performance I attended, at one point she came out without the mustache. It's a real scenery-chewing role. I'm not sure what's gained by casting a woman in this particular role. Maybe it adds to the joke of the impossibility of giving up the company of women.
You know, so Love's Labour's Lost. I mean, this is a comedy of Shakespeare, but it isn't performed as much as many of the other Shakespeare comedies. Why is that?
Well, one of my thoughts on this is that it's not a traditional comedy because it doesn't end with marriages, which is the normal convention. In fact, Barone himself says at the end, "Our wooing doth not end like an old play. Jack hath not Jill." So instead of ending with marriages...
Jack hath not Jill.
Not That's yet good. Anyway, yeah. Because it ends not with marriages, but with the possibility of future marriages. But the ending is pretty much up in the air. The title gives you a clue, Love's Labour's Lost, that things are not going to end happily ever after. But it's a very entertaining play. It pretty much disappeared in the entire 17th century, maybe because it defies some of these conventions. There have been some unusual, more recent versions. Kenneth Branagh did a movie in 2000 that was set in the 30s. It had Cole Porter and Gershwin music. I saw a production in Washington about a dozen years ago that was set in the 1960s. Shakespeare created a lot of strong women, and some of the ones in this play are really his first smart women. They end up having the upper hand. They outwit the men. And interestingly, Love's Labour's Lost also includes Shakespeare's first play within a play, which he does again more famously in A Midsummer Night's Dream, where it's even funnier.
So you sound pretty encouraging about this one. I mean, is this Baltimore Shakespeare Factory production? Is this, you know, is this a good intro to this, you know, kind of less than familiar comedy?
I think it is. It's one of the more satisfying Baltimore Shakespeare Factory productions that I've seen. Some of the acting in it is uneven. Some of it's better than others. For example, the Princess of France, who's a crucial character, isn't quite as strong a presence in this as the king, her love interest, due to some uneven acting. But especially if you haven't seen this comedy before, this Baltimore Shakespeare Factory production does have its rewards. And the idea of overturning gender stereotypes is always appealing, and so is the idea of leaders who make foolish and rash decisions. Mm. So the play seems pretty timely.
Yeah, a little topical, perhaps. All right, that's Love's Labour's Lost. It's at the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory until Sunday. It's over at the Evergreen Meadow on Charles Street. And then until August 20th, it's going to be at St. Mary's Community Center over in Hamden. That's an indoor production. So we've got a link to details about all the showtimes and that stuff at WIPR.org/midday. So we're going to do the Annapolis Shakespeare Company next time we see each other, but not a Shakespeare play.
That's right. We're going to be talking about an adaptation of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. This is a brand new version. It's called Alice and the Book of Wonderland.
The Book of Wonderland. We look forward to that. We'll see you then. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Tom.
Lunch for our guests today here on Thursdays is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow it's the Midday News Wrap. Plus, we'll check in with Rebecca Hofberger. She's the founder and director of the American Visionary Arts Museum, which opened 25 years ago this weekend. Hope you can join us then. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned for Here and Now, which is on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.